Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Wednesday, December the 29th, 2021. Won't be saying that for much longer. 15 minutes past the hour, and we had a call before we were headed into the break there. If that was you, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Also, if you had anything to say about the Geraldo interview, give me a call, 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Well, I hope you like my sports update.
You know, I do. What was that Adam's end? Was Adam in the dark on that one?
Maybe.
Well, I couldn't figure it out because I knew you sent them over pretty regularly, and I guess I hadn't paid attention. And this morning I was driving in, and I thought, "Merry Christmas!" I thought, "Boy, it must be a few days."
Well, with the holiday, there were no sports on Friday or Saturday, so there's nothing to update on Monday. So last night I was actually at the movies with my boys and got home really late, and Adam messaged me this morning and said, "Hey, did you do sports?" Like, "Oh, yeah." So I hurry up and did it this morning and sent it in.
Oh, well, what are the highlights?
Well, we had a couple of huge scores yesterday. Especially, I believe it was Pleasant, the girls' team winning 79-19 or 72-19.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Huge scores.
Now, who were they playing? Was it another local team or an outside team?
It was an outside team.
Wow, that's quite a score. That must mean the Pleasant girls are going to be a rough team, or either that was a really bad team that they played.
Oh, one or the other. I don't know. I haven't really seen much. I've only been to a couple games recently, so I do need to go out and see a bunch of different local sports teams to get an idea of who we might be following deep into the playoffs this year.
So, how was your holiday?
Holiday was great. Spending this week with my kids. Still got to work, though. But it's been fun. Just taking in all the beautiful spring weather.
Are you making any New Year's resolutions?
Honestly, I don't think I am because this year is pretty much made what my resolutions would have been, is to change my life around and lose weight and get healthy.
Would you have ever thought last year at this time that you would be where you are now?
No. Honestly, I didn't think I would have made it this far.
No, well, I think everybody who heard that interview or anybody who's come up to me since has just said, "Wow, congratulations on what he's done." And everybody is very positive and behind you, and that's a very nice feeling.
Oh, absolutely. And I did want to say that Adam did steal my thunder a little bit because I was going to call in and update everybody on the wonderful life of John Madden.
Oh, yeah, what did you make of John Madden, this legendary guy?
Oh, man. He has done, he was the youngest coach to ever win 100 games in the NFL. Won a Super Bowl. He coached every year with the Oakland Raiders when they were still there. And then, like, even today, I got my son Madden 22 for Christmas. And it's the game to get for football now. It's like nobody else wants to release a football game for NFL players because of John Madden. His name carries all this weight in the sports world, from coaching to announcing to everyday kids' video games. It's people in every household.
Do you think kids know who he is, that he's a real person?
I actually had to explain it to my kids last night when I found out he died. And they're like, "Who's John Madden?" I was like, "You play his football game." And they kind of knew, but not really. But I explained he was a coach, and he was a TV broadcaster, and he was good. Yeah, he was your average, everyday broadcaster. He wasn't special, but he made it fun.
Now, it is interesting, and I'd be interesting to get your take on these two questions. What do you think he'll be most remembered for? The coaching, the broadcasting, or I guess partially the video game, but I think it's coaching or broadcasting that he's going to be remembered for. Which one do you think?
I think he'll be remembered more for the broadcasting because he did it for a lot longer, and the newer generation that grew up with him broadcasting was a lot longer than his coaching days. I think he only coached, 12 years with the Oakland Raiders. So I think more people are going to remember the broadcasting, but he's going to live on in the game.
And as far as his broadcasting goes, what do you think made him so popular? I mean, he certainly wasn't what you would call a proficient play-by-play guy, but he was very entertaining.
Well, from my personal experience, I did color commentary for a couple times, and I had no radio experience doing it, but you have football knowledge. So being a color guy, you're able to say, okay, this is what the coach is feeling. This is what the players are feeling. This is what I would do in this situation. And him being an NFL coach, you would hope that he knows something about football, and him being able to go up there and just explain and give people who are listening an inside track on the minds of what's going on in the field, that's what I think he was good at. He wasn't a good speaker. He wasn't somebody that I would choose to get up in front of people to give everyday speeches. But I would say, if you want him to go talk to people about football and explain it, I would choose him instantly.
Very sharp guy, and it was sad to hear of his passing. And I think that he definitely has a unique place in broadcasting, because for some reason there are not a lot of great color men in football, but John Madden was certainly that.
Absolutely. And you don't get people like him nowadays. And everybody you see on there now, yeah, you have a bunch of former football players, but you don't have people like John Madden. He was just entertaining. And his voice to go along with it was perfect.
Yeah, well, you know, and he and Pat Summerall and he and Al Michaels both had unique partnerships, I guess, in the broadcast booth, and it seemed like he could compliment with anybody, which, that's a trick sometimes. You have to get along with your partner.
Oh, absolutely. You can't just go to somebody and not have any type of connection, because you kind of have to think, okay, when's he going to stop doing play-by-play so I can jump in and say something? And it's a very unique situation when you're doing sports games, and you're both thinking different things, but you have to be on the same page at the same time.
Yeah, he certainly is a one of a kind, and I hope that for many, many years, people do what you did when the old Madden game comes out, because I'm sure that won't stop. And stop and explain just for a second that this was a guy who really cut a path in football history.
They wouldn't have a game after him if he didn't do something right.
No, he was very, very popular. It's not always about the skill level, it's about the popularity level, and he certainly had the popularity level.
I definitely think he did.
All right. Well, hey, thanks, Mike, for the sports report and all that insight, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Absolutely. Have a good day.
Take care. Bye-bye. Mike McGinnis, doing sports here on this station, and also, certainly we remember Mike from My 600-Pound Life, which just aired the night before Thanksgiving. Any other thoughts on the passing of John Madden or the Geraldo interview? I think that's about all we've covered here this morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz and we can talk about it. Let's see. Well, here's something I wanted to bring up. The other day, when we were talking about the history of radio on this station and the history of radio here in Marion, we all learned together that Bob Mason, who founded WMRN, is buried in the Marion Cemetery. Well, I said, I would like to go over and find his grave. You know, pay your respects to the guy who started it all here 81 years ago. Now, I do not have a lot. As a matter of fact, I don't think I have any family members buried in the Marion Cemetery. So I've never really had to look for a grave. I kind of knew where the graves were in there. So I go over to the Marion Cemetery the other night, and I, you know, this thing on the internet, find a grave, it told me exactly where his grave was. And it said Section A. And I thought, well, this won't be hard to find. Section A, I imagine that's right up front. So I go into the Marion Cemetery, and I drive all around there, and I'm trying to find Section A, and every time I pass a section by, I'm noticing that it's named after something. Hold on a second. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, my opinion on John Madden was, he's a little bit like Pittsburgh's quarterback. What was his name? Back in Bradshaw.
Oh, Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah. John Madden wasn't the most polished, you know, speaker with the English language and all that. He was just a down-home good old boy.
Yeah, I think people liked him because I think they felt that he was doing the game like they would do the game.
And he was one of the first ones to break out, you know, where he would draw out the play and, you know, and actually show you on TV, you know, what that play was meant to do and, you know, different things like that. He was good about that.
Now, did you like him better with Pat Summerall or with Al Michaels?
It didn't make no difference to me.
Yeah. I think he just had an aura about him that people liked to listen to him.
Yeah, and, you know, he was the coach of his, you know, of his generation. You know, he was, you know, one of the best rated coaches of his era, so.
You know what's interesting, though, that most people don't remember him as a coach. Most people remember him as a broadcaster.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what
I remember him as a coach, too, but, you know, I was real young then. But he's been around in the broadcasting so long.
You know, what I was shocked about was I think he only coached like 12 years or something. He really didn't do it for a long time.
I thought it was 10 years.
Was it 10 years? Could have been.
Mike said 12 years, but I thought it was 10 years.
Well, that was kind of shocking to me because here's this guy who obviously did not coach for a long, long time, but yet they thought enough of him to put him in the broadcast booth, and I'm curious how that all came to be, because certainly all former coaches and players do not end up in the broadcast booth.
Yeah, you know, it seems like most coaches want to coach, you know, forever.
Yeah, and they go to different teams, and they're offered quite a bit of money.
Yeah, and nowadays, especially, they go to different teams, and, you know, players go to different teams during the season, you know.
Well, even a lot of broadcasters, the former coaches will become broadcasters, and then they'll be asked to go back and coach a team, and they won't do it. John Madden never went back, or they'll do it, but John Madden did not go back to coaching.
Yeah, no, I wonder what the reason why he got away from that. Because I'm sure he could have got back in coaching anytime he wanted.
Oh, I'm sure he had offers. But I think he became more well-known as a coach, which is very strange. Normally it doesn't happen that way. But I think he must have become, or a broadcaster, I think he became more well-known as a broadcaster. And maybe he was making more money doing that. And the travel schedule was not as bad. I think he only worked, you know, the one day a week.
And his family life was probably better.
Probably better. And maybe he didn't like coaching, you know. To only do it for 10 years, I think says something.
He kind of, Tony Romo reminds me a lot of him. You know, because Tony Romo has the knowledge of the game. And, you know, knowledge of the quarterback, you know, what the quarterback may do or may see, and, you know, he does a good job broadcasting and breaking the plays down.
Well, you know, I think I was reading last night that John Madden was the first to use the, I'm not even sure what they call it, but where you put the pen on the screen and you draw out what, Telestrator, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
You know, he was the first one to do that.
Yeah, I thought he was the first one or one of the first ones, but, you know, that really, you know, you didn't see that, you know, until John Madden there.
No, he certainly was a very interesting guy, and I think he will not be forgotten anytime soon. And his video game is still the number one video game out there, and it's been that way for about 30 years now.
Yeah, I wanted to comment, too, about something that Adam said.
Oh, go ahead.
Please don't waste no energy on getting Donald Trump on there.
Well, you don't want to see Donald Trump on the show?
That'd be like me sending you a fruitcake.
Well, you know what's interesting is, did you get a chance to hear the Geraldo interview?
No, I didn't even know it was coming on. I'm hoping you replay it live.
Yeah, it's in the replays, but, you know, it was just one of those things that came up kind of spur of the moment, and I didn't want to announce it because I wasn't for sure that he was going to come on right up until about the time that he did come on, and the fact that it was at the 100-day mark, I thought that was very unique.
Yeah, it was. Now, is Adam allowed to get his own guest, you know, go out and, if he wanted to get Donald Trump on, is he allowed to contact Donald Trump?
Oh, yeah, I don't know why he wouldn't be.
I don't know why he don't try to, you know, he wants you to get all these guests on, and then he wants to be part of your interview.
Well, I certainly don't mind him booking guests on his show. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'd like to see you get Adele on there, interview her.
Adele?
Yeah.
Now, what would you want to know about Adele?
Oh, just anything about her life.
You know, it was interesting. Well, it was interesting. Geraldo ended up being very calm and just a good, solid interview.
Well, maybe on the next interview you can get him going.
Well, I'm sure there are things in his life that he's probably a little more tentative to talk about than others.
Yeah, so try to bring up something that you know might give a little reaction.
Well, you know what I thought? It was Christmas Eve. It was his first time on the show. You know, it should be nice and easy.
Right, but you don't go after interviewing somebody to, you know, to cause problems, you know.
You know, I was thinking about...
You gotta be tactful. You know, like you said, you gotta be tactful the way you ask a question.
You know, I was thinking about that the other day, and maybe it's because, you know, we just had the anniversary of broadcasting here in Marion, but I was thinking about why do people have people as guests if they really don't have any questions? You know, they just tell them what they think, and then I guess they want them to react to that. I really don't understand that. If you already know what your guest thinks, or you just want them to react to what you think, what's the point of having a guest?
Right.
I'm not really sure about that. I don't know.
Any guest you would have on, I think you would take time to research their career and their life, and, you know, so you can have, you know, good questions. If somebody writes a book, did you read that Three Pies Hot?
I did.
You know, you wouldn't want to, you know, have Bob on or something like that without actually being, you know, reading the book. You know, take time to do that, you know.
Well, no, and I think you should ask questions. You know, I think that's what's missing in radio and in television, to maybe even a larger extent. People don't ask questions. They tell you what they know, and then I think they want you to comment on what you know. I think questions should be very short if you're interviewing somebody. You know, what do you think about blah, 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 blah? And you leave it to the guest to answer that.
Yeah, you don't have these big three-part, you know, questions, you know, where they gotta go A, B, C, and, you know.
No, and I'm never really sure. You know, I've always felt in an interview, now that's different than, you know, taking phone calls or talking about something, but in an interview, what I think really is not important. Because if I've invited the guest on, why is what I think important? I want to know what they think. If I want to tell somebody what I think, I'll just have a show to myself and I'll tell you what I think. But if I have a guest on, I've asked them to come on, they've agreed to come on, I want to know what they think. So what I think isn't, I don't think it's important in an interview.
like when you have Mary Ellen Withrow on, you know, it's interesting to know what she thinks of different politicians and, you know, different campaigns and, you know, stuff that went on back in her day, you know. It's interesting to know what she thinks about that stuff.
Well, that's
not what
why
you think about the stuff.
Well, you know, that's right. I mean, I can read about it and I can remember it and I can comment on it. But what I really want to know is from somebody who was involved in it, like Mary Ellen was, what was she thinking at that time? What did she think was helping her the most? I mean, everybody has an opinion about things, but I don't know. I mean, there's a place for opinion broadcasting, but I really think it's becoming there's much more opinion broadcasting than actual straight interviewing. And I just don't know if we learn as much when it's all opinion.
Well, Fox has a lot of opinion broadcasts, especially with the, you know, all the Republican, you know, slanted, you know, shows that they do. You know, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, which is, we don't have Rush Limbaugh no more, but, you know, I can't stand to listen to those shows.
Yeah, it's a very interesting world. I think people probably listen more to opinion broadcasts because it's like preaching to the choir, but I really don't know.
Okay, well, good job, and don't worry about old Donald Trump.
Yeah. We'll have to see how it all shakes out in the end.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Phil.
Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if you have any thoughts on John Madden, if you have any thoughts on the Geraldo interview, if you have any thoughts on broadcasting in general. It's an interesting subject. But what I was saying was I went over to the Marion Cemetery the other day to look for Bob Mason's grave when I found out he was buried there. And when you go into the Marion Cemetery, I thought this would be very easy because he's buried in Section A, but every section in the Marion Cemetery has a name to it. You know, like Maple Grove and things like that. And I could not find anything. And then it dawned on me, maybe I should try to find a map of this cemetery. And came to find out that actually the cemetery across the street, the one behind the Harding Memorial, actually has A, B, C, D. So that's where he is. But by that point, it was already getting dark, and it was really kind of rainy that day. And I never did find it. But did anybody know that? Does anybody know how that all came to be? Was the part of the Marion Cemetery behind the Harding Memorial, was that the first part of the cemetery that was built? And then they built the one across the street over here? See, I always thought it went the other way, because St. Mary's Cemetery was here before the Harding Memorial, so I thought they built St. Mary's Cemetery, and then the Marion Cemetery came across the street, and then they added on the other part behind the Harding Memorial after they built the Harding Memorial. But I don't know, because it seems to me, because we talked a lot about Quarry Street Cemetery. When Quarry Street Cemetery closed, that's kind of when the Marion Cemetery got up and running. And does anybody know which part of the Marion Cemetery was built first? It would have had to have been the part across from St. Mary's, I think. I think they would have had to have added the other part after the Harding Memorial was built. Or maybe it was already there when the Harding Memorial was built. I really don't know. Does anybody know the answer to this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 38 coming up on 39 minutes past the hour here. All right, let's take a call. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, a couple months ago, Scott, I was driving through the Marion Cemetery, the park across from St. Mary. And you get back in there, and that's just beautiful back in there. The landscape and the way the monuments are placed and stuff, but you go on the other side, it's like night and day. You know, that's not pretty. The landscape's, you know, there's no hills and valleys and different things. It just, It's just not as pretty.
Well, it would seem to me that the part behind the Harding Memorial was added later. I think that's right. I'm not for sure, but I would have to say.
I think that's right.
Yeah, but it's interesting to me that section A, B, C, D, E, F, G, that's all over behind the Harding Memorial. That across the street, across from St. Mary's, they all have sections like Maple Grove and Oak Grove and Serenity Lane and things like that.
I don't know if a lot of people realize this, but when you go to Harding football game there, you know, that back fence there, which has advertisements and stuff on it, I don't know. But the Marion Cemetery is just right behind that.
Oh, yeah, very, very close. I mean, if you go to the corner of it, you can see the Harding football stadium right there.
Right.
That's nice for all the people who have went on to their reward that they're that close to it.
But it just, you know, I thought that day just amazed me. I haven't been on that side very much because most people I know is on the other side, and most people that have been buried, you know, that I went to has been on the other side, you know. But you get back in the old part of the cemetery there, it's just beautiful.
Well, I don't know. Is one side cheaper? Is one side more expensive? Are there plots left on both sides? You know, I don't really know because I don't have any family members buried in that cemetery.
Well, I know there has to be some plots on both sides because I have seen along the boulevard there where there's been some people buried. But I don't think there's a whole lot of lots.
You know, I know they took down that fence around the cemetery. I wonder if they're going to put that back up.
Yeah, I've been wondering about that.
I know they were doing all that sewer work, but maybe it won't go back up. You never know.
I keep the deer from running through there. I about hit a couple deer there a few months back.
The deer are running through the cemetery?
Yeah, running through the cemetery, ran right across the, you know what, the first part of the cemetery behind Hotel Harding, right across the street and into the other part of the cemetery.
You know what I thought was funny was when I was driving through the cemetery, they have a big sign posted over there, no pets. And people are walking their dogs in there. People, I mean, I think the only person I saw out that day, because it was kind of getting dark and it was a rainy day, was one couple and they had a dog with them. And I had just seen this sign that said no pets.
I don't know why they would not want pets in there.
Well,
if you're going to take your dog over and let it roam and run free, but if you have it with you on a leash, I don't see why not.
Well, I think it's probably the droppings problem. That, you know, the reason we're not allowed to go into cemeteries at night and the reason, you know, you shouldn't go in and tip over a tombstone or do anything like that is it's considered a sacred place. It's somebody's final resting place. And I think the idea of having an animal, you know, leave stuff.
People don't clean up after their dogs.
Yeah, I think that's probably the main reason behind it. And
the dogs will be going right up to the monuments and peeing on the monuments.
Well, probably. Yeah. And I think that's what they're trying to avoid. And, you know, how would, if you're a family member of somebody and you came up and that stuff was laying all over your husband or wife or child, it probably would not be a very pleasant occasion.
No.
So I think that's probably what it is. But apparently nobody pays attention to it because people have their dogs in there, and who's going to be there to check it out anyway?
All right, the police won't have to worry about that.
No. And even the whole thing about being in the cemetery after dark, you know, at this point, if you don't have a fence up around it, I'm not even sure how they could stop you. I don't even know how they could call it trespassing when you can just walk in.
Well, it's posted.
Right, but it's not posted on the side where the fence is missing.
Well, I don't know.
I don't think. I didn't see it over there.
They'll get around that. They'll say it's posted, you know.
I don't know that anybody's ever been maybe, if you're in there vandalizing something, but I don't know that anybody's ever been arrested for being in a cemetery after hours. Maybe. I don't know.
I seriously doubt that. I've been in parks after hours, you know, and never had any trouble. You know, just sometimes depends on, you know, what you're doing and, you know, what you're up to. I've had cops go by, you know, after night, and I've been in a park, you know, and never said nothing. But
yeah, I think it's really more about what are you doing and are you up to no good. I think they want to keep people out. Vandalism, I think, is what they're really trying to avoid.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, we'll see what happens, see if the fence comes back up. But thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Does anybody know the history of the Marion Cemetery? Which side was built first? And did they build the other side, the side more south, behind the Harding Memorial? Did they build that after the Harding Memorial? I don't know how that all came to be, but, that's where Bob Mason is, although I did not find him. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz, and we can have a conversation about whatever is on your mind here this morning. We've talked about quite a few things. John Madden's passing yesterday at the age of 85. The Geraldo interview on this station last Friday. The Marion Cemetery here, talking about it. Go ahead, caller.
Well, it's a Trump thing. I'm sure it would be very hard to get him on a talk show. But if he ever was on your station, I'm sure he would gain thousands and thousands of listeners.
He does have a following.
Oh, yeah, he sure does. And good or bad, I think, you know, it would add to the collection of thousands and thousands of listeners he already got. I got to get back to work.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Have a good day, Scott.
You know, Donald Trump is a very interesting person. I find him very interesting because the things he has done, it seems like there's no middle ground with Donald Trump. Either you really love him or you really don't. I don't think I've ever known somebody in public life who was like that. That there doesn't seem to be any indifference with Donald Trump. When you bring his name up, it's either absolute love for the guy or absolute hate for the guy. And it's kind of interesting to watch. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz here if there's anything on your mind. From Geraldo to the Marion Cemetery to John Madden's passing, whatever you would like to talk about, 740-383-9944. You know, I was going to ask a question here today because we had the mayor on yesterday talking about what would you like to see in Marion in 2022 as we're about to hit a new year here. What would you, the listeners, like to see come to Marion? Now, a lot of people always talk about businesses, restaurants and things of that nature. Can anybody think of anything? I mean, it could be a restaurant. It could be a department store. But would you like to see something in particular come to Marion or something be done in 2022 and beyond that you think would be good for the city? 740-383-9944. You know, I know we got this Del Taco. Now, they're really putting that together out on Route 95. Marion Mount Gilead Road, and that's pretty good. But I don't know, is that the thing that we're all waiting to see happen? Is there anything else that is just about to come to fruition in Marion? Would you like to see more parks? Would you like to see more things done in parks? I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Everybody seems to want different things, but you never know what thing will be the thing that will make people want to come to a certain area. Is there anything that you can think of? 740-383-9944. How long did we hear about wanting Marion to get a Red Lobster? And then finally we got one. And it stays pretty busy. I mean, obviously it's still in business. Now, we also had the same conversation about the White Castle. But obviously, that did not turn out very well. Does anybody have a good theory as to why White Castle did not work in Marion? You know, I remember for years, people saying, if we only had a White Castle, if we only had a White Castle. And then here White Castle came. They built a building. They built it on the busiest road in Marion. It was a brand new building. And it really did not last very long. Now, when the White Castle truck comes to Marion, it still does very good. But the store itself did not do very well. Does anybody have any idea why? 740-383-9944. All right, here's a call. Maybe this person knows. Go ahead, caller.
If you'd like to hear my 3 cents worth, Scott, I have two suggestions for things Marion could do in 2022. The first one I think probably will happen. Kirk has done a great job with the Palace. You've had him on. Great addition to the community. He had one of the biggest one-hit wonders on of all time at the Palace. I'd like to see more one-hit wonders from the 70s and 80s appear at the Palace. You know, kind of be playful about it. As I mean, Debbie Boone is, I mean, her father's famous, and she's still around, but she had one of the biggest hits of all time, but that was it in terms of mainstream pop music. So there are many one-hit wonders from the 70s and 80s. I'd like to see more of them appear at the Palace. I get the feeling Kirk is probably working on that.
So my guess is...
That would just be totally cool to have that, because I don't see any other city doing that. It adds to the little surprise nature of Marion. I think it would be great.
My guess is that Debbie Boone was probably booked under previous management, because he had only been there about 2 weeks.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. Yeah, but I mean, so Kirk, if you're listening, I'd love to see that. And I would just have a feast with that on my show because of my interest in that music, you know, and my, you know, my knowledge that I claim to have. So talking about people that just had this enormous hit and then they kind of faded by the wayside. So that would be something I think would be great. And maybe it'll happen. As we've had so many famous people at the Palace and look forward to some more.
So what was the other thing?
I think we need a Sheetz station. You're probably familiar with Sheetz. And, you know, I know how much you like the McDonald's or the Speedway, but Sheetz is kind of a competitor to that in terms of the food and beverage department. What they have is for $9.99 a month, you can have all the beverages, coffee and soda that you want. You can also get unlimited French fries for $9.99 a month. I know you'd love that as much as I love it because I'm a member of the Beverage Club. And there's plenty of places in Marion that could have one. Delaware has two, and they're building one just south of where I live. So I think that's probably going to happen, too, that they'll probably expand into mid-Ohio. I mean, they did the Columbus, Delaware, Circleville market. So I think that probably is in their plans. So I suspect both of these things may happen. But it kind of came to mind. We don't have a lot of variety in terms of these gas station convenience stores in Marion. I mean, I mentioned there's no UDF. They just may not be up this far north, even though to me it's still... within their market area, and we have three speedways. So I don't think we have any. I don't think we have any Circle. We have a Circle. We have a Moto Mart. I don't think we have a Circle K.
No, there is a Circle K. Okay. It's over on the. Where is Circle K? I haven't been there in a long time, but I think it's over on. Where is it? I think if you go down Bell Fountain, it's down there.
I wasn't sure. I'm still discovering parts of Marion that I had not previously been overly knowledgeable of in this, you know, certain parts of town that I'm very knowledgeable. Basically, downtown, south, and east, those are the areas I know the best. But I could see a Sheetz station opening up somewhere, and I think they do very well. So those are my two predictions, and they're kind of a combination of your pop culture, things that just get a lot of press in this area, and in terms of the music, my love of the one-hit wonders, because there were so many of them. And I get the feeling Kirk has a lot of things on tap for the Palace.
Well, we'll see.
I look forward to seeing that, and that's something that we can really be proud of in Marion.
All right, thanks.
What do I have for you? Not as long-winded as last time, Scott.
Well, that's okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. What would you like to see in Marion in 2022? Now, it seems to me like we had United Dairy Farmers. Now, wasn't there a United Dairy Farmers on Main Street where, what is that called now? It used to be a Lawson's, and then it was a Dairy Mart. It's right there across from, General Fry's. What is that little place? Is that a Circle K? I don't know. I can't remember. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's got the Circle K on Bell Fountain Avenue. That's been out of business now for quite a while.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
What's the thing on Main Street across from General Fry's?
That's a Circle K.
Is that a Circle K? I thought it was.
That's the only one left in town, though.
Now, didn't that used to be a United Dairy Farmer?
I don't think so. It used to be a Lawson's at one time.
I remember it was a Lawson's.
And it was a Dairy Mart.
I remember it was a Dairy Mart. And I remember it was obviously a Circle K, but I can't remember beyond that exactly what it was.
And you know, White Castle, I think the reason why they don't survive is they're just too pricey.
Well, you know, everybody wanted a White Castle for so long, and then all of a sudden it came and didn't do a whole lot.
Last time I was in Mansfield, they don't have one no more.
Really?
Yeah.
No White Castle in Mansfield.
Yep, that White Castle Mansfield's gone.
You think people might have gotten past that baby food in their burger idea?
I don't know.
I don't know. It's a very interesting thing because people wanted a White Castle here for so long, and it was here, what, 2 years maybe?
Yeah, but you can go to McDonald's and get a McDouble for a couple bucks. And, you know, it's a nice big sandwich. You go to White Castle and you get a double cheeseburger, you know, for a couple bucks. It's that little teeny sandwich that's mostly bread.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Red Lobster still does well. They're a little more pricey than other restaurants.
Yeah, but they're kind of different than a fast food restaurant. So that's a sit-down, you know, restaurant that you go in. You know, I don't think the warehouse in Marion's open anymore.
No, I think it's been closed for quite some time.
It closed around the pandemic time, and it's just never opened back up. And he also has that chicken place there on South Prospect Street that they've done a lot of work to it. They got the sign up thing, but it just don't seem like it's ever going to open up.
The one way down here by the gas station?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is that thing called?
Red Rooster or Chicken?
Yeah, but it's never been open, has it?
No.
No, I don't know what's going on with that. I guess we'll find out one day.
Yeah, I'd like to see it open up. It'd be nice if they'll get chicken on this side of town instead of driving clear, you know, out there on 95 or, you know, 23.
You know, we really only have two strictly chicken places in Marion, and they both do very well, Lee's and KFC.
Right.
They do well. I'll tell you, that KFC on 95, I was going to stop in there one day a couple weeks ago, and they were just tremendously busy.
Yeah, Popeye's didn't make it.
No, and Popeye's didn't make it. Well, maybe it's the curse of that building, White Castle and Popeye's.
Very could be, but I think somebody put the chicken place, you know, they ought to go on the west side or more uptown area or something, you know, rather than going... Everybody wants to put everything out there on 95 area.
Well, I think that's where things tend to survive here, unfortunately or fortunately, I guess, depends on who you are.
But there's a lot of choice out there. But, you know, you get, you know, on this side of town, you know, I think, you know, some places could make it just because there's a lot of people that can walk to it. And, there's, you know, people don't want to run clear out there on 95 and get into that traffic.
Well, at one point we had a lot of restaurants out here on Delaware Avenue. They just didn't survive.
Right.
I think when the mall kind of went away and
there used to be a KFC on Delaware Avenue.
There did. Yeah. There was a KFC out there for a little while, and it just did not do the business.
No.
It's interesting.
But that's my theory on White Castle. It's just, you know, they're just too pricey.
Well, I appreciate the opinion. Thank you.
Yep.
Again, phone lines are open here. Got about 2 minutes left in the show. 740-383-9944. What do you expect to see in Marion in 2022, or what would you like to see in Marion in 2022? Glenn Coble's coming up next with me for two solid hours here of really top drawer broadcasting, 10 a.m. until 12 noon, and then Progressive Life with Glenn Coble. Dr. Feynman, I think, will be along today, 12:15 until 1 p.m. Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman, 4:10 to 5 p.m., and the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon, 6:10 until 7 p.m. today here on this station. And again, the question is, what would you like to see in Marion in 2022? We had the mayor on yesterday and talked a little bit about things that are going on, the year that was and the year that will be. And what were some of the other questions this morning? Well, we talked about the passing of John Madden yesterday. That certainly was a seminal moment for all football fans. Geraldo appearing on this show last week, ending the 100-day Geraldo Journal. Will the fence be put back up around the Marion Cemetery? Why did White Castle go out of business? What would you like to see in Marion in 2022? Give us a buzz here, 740-383-9944. We're going to step out here for about 15 minutes. Come back with Glenn Coble. Don't you dare go anywhere.
You're listening to WWGH Radio, LP Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place, 107.1 FM. From Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity. If we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you,
I know.
Yeah.